Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
All right. Well, let's get into the Word this morning. I'm going to be bringing you to the book of Luke, chapter 17, starting with verses 12 through 19. I'm going to read this in the English Standard Version, and then I'm going to read one part of it from the King James Version to... I like the way that the King James says it in one place, and I'm going to bring that back part to you, okay? Yes. Amen. So the Bible says this. It says, "And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this stranger?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" The King James Version says it this way. It says, "And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.'" Has made thee whole. Turn to your neighbors and say this: "You don't look like what you've been through." Come on, say it with some righteous indignation. You don't look like what you've been through. I know what you've been through. I know your past. And you don't look like what you've been through. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Maybe you need to say it in faith and say, after this service, you're not going to look like what you've been through. After this word, you're not going to look like what you've been through. Because the healer's in the house. Come on, give him praise this morning. In the Word of God and in life especially, there are times that you have to just take a pause, a moment to reflect, a moment to say, let's think about this. Amen? If you're a smart husband, that's when your wife says something, you say, let me take a moment to think about that. Don't say what's on your mind all the time. That'll get you killed. But you got to take a moment to think and pause. And there's no exception, of course, to the Bible. And there are many things in the Word of God that require time to pause and reflect. And our text today, I believe, requires a pause. It's a pretty common story, of course, in the New Testament. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you have not, but it is the story of when Jesus heals the 10 lepers. This is the second time in the Word of God where Jesus heals a leper. The first time, of course, it was of an individual, and the second time, it's with these 10. The modern name for the term leprosy is Hansen's disease, and this name was given to the disease in 1873. There's some dispute over whether Hansen's disease is the leprosy of the Old Testament, but we do know that Hansen's disease, we have proof of mummies and other artifacts, that Hansen's disease was at least around since 600 BC. So, of course, we know that Hansen's disease is the leprosy of the New Testament. Now, Hansen's disease is rather interesting because, like some diseases, it will remain in the body of the host for 5 to 10 years or sometimes even 20 years with no symptoms. It lays dormant, and you may know that you have the disease, but no one else around you is really aware that you have the disease. And it is still very much alive, even though it's dormant. Even though the symptoms aren't there, it's alive. The symptoms usually begin with specks on the eyelids, and then they kind of show up on your palms, and then, of course, other extremities of the body. And leprosy kind of works like this. What happens is the nerve endings in the extremities and other parts of the body begin to die and go numb. Leprosy isn't necessarily a very painful disease. It's actually a disease that you don't really feel at all. It's just the body becomes numb and the extremities become to the point to where you're not sure if you are doing anything that would cause harm. A person with leprosy, once the effects have taken over, they begin to touch hot objects, or maybe even if they're an artisan or skilled laborer, they may actually self-amputate a limb without intention, and this is because they no longer have feeling. They have lost the feeling in their extremities and other parts of their body. The other portion of this disease causes and accelerates infection. Thus, the injured limbs eventually become rotten and they decay. And along with the destruction of the joints and the cartilage of the host. And you can imagine what this looks like. It's a very destructive and divisive disease. It's a disease that is one that would not be easily concealed once the symptoms have taken full effect. The disease is also, it makes the person look almost mummy-like. And once it has taken over, they look almost like you would see The Walking Dead. Those of you that know the hit television show The Walking Dead, this is sort of what they might look like. They still are very much alive, still very much moving about. However, their limbs are falling off. Their lips may even be withered away. And it's a very gruesome and ugly sight. And it's certainly one of those things that back in this time and day and age, if you were cursed with leprosy, if you were diagnosed with leprosy, it was a death sentence. The stench would become overwhelming, and it was not easily ignored. It's humiliating. This disease only could be kept secret for a short while, but eventually you were found out. If you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were banished to live in a leper colony outside of the city gates. And of course, that meant that you were absent of all protection and all provision. You were separated from civilization. You were left to scavenge for the food in the nighttime through trash heaps and garbage bins. And they would open up the gates to the lepers and they would say, now you can come into the city gates. And during the daytime, you had to stay outside the city gates and cry unclean anytime a person would walk near you. And you had to stay a certain distance away from that person. It was really a lonely disease. Your only companions were other lepers. The only people whom you could expect at a leper funeral was other lepers. Your funeral was preached by another leper. Yes, it was a death sentence, but one which you didn't die immediately, but one limb at a time. And each day you would wake up and you would have to bury another part of yourself. Each day you would have a small funeral for one particular portion of yourself, and each day you lost more and more of yourself until one day the inevitable happened and you no longer woke. This day, this particular day, a small community of lepers hear about a man from Galilee who was known to heal leprosy. They even heard that one time he touched a leper, which of course had never happened before. You know, with the prophet, what did he tell Naaman? He didn't even meet him at the door. He said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. But now this man steps on scene who says, I'm not scared by your infirmity. I'm not concerned what others might think of me and what others might think of you. I'm here to touch you. You see, with these individuals, these particular 10 lepers, it had been a long season since they had been touched by any particular person. It had been a long season since they had had communication with anyone other than another leper. They understood that this man called Jesus, of course, was no respecter of person, that he would not turn away anyone, and that today the rumor was he was coming in their direction. These particular 10 are not named, of course, and they are, however, given a brief description. We know that 9 of them were Jews, and 1 of them was a Samaritan. The Bible says that. Jesus even calls him a foreigner. He calls him a stranger in one particular text. Today, the descriptions get a little blurry, but we understand the term Jew to be a blanket description of someone who is from the lineage of the children of Israel. But this is actually not the biblical description of the term Jew. The biblical description of the term Jew is someone who is of the tribe of Judah or Benjamin. It's very descriptive in that. It's not the whole 12 tribes of Israel. And then, of course, we know what the term Samaritan is. The term Samaritan is a reference to the northern area, a person from the northern area, which used to be the kingdom of Israel under the divided kingdom, which, of course, happened after King Solomon had passed. So this was, and this is something that is not commonly known, a Samaritan was a half-Jew. A Samaritan was someone whose father was a Jew, but their mother was a heathen. So because their mother was not of the tribe of Judah, they couldn't claim the benefits of being a Jew. So they were cast out like dogs because of who their mother was. But they had the same daddy. They had the same father. This would be the same, almost the same analogy of, if we know that, and you've heard this term, that if the church, if God is your father, then the church ought to be your mother. You've heard the term that the church is the bride of Christ. You might be able to make this analogy and make this leap with me, that you understand that they've got the same father. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter the breath that they, which person, if they breathe air on this earth, they are a child of the Most High God. Make no mistake, there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. But if they breathe air, if they live on this earth, they are a child of the Most High God. But their mama might not be the same. And Jesus steps on scene, and he says, I don't care if you're Jew nor Greek. I don't care if you're a Samaritan. I don't care if you're poor or rich. I don't care if you're hungry or fed. Whoever you are, let them come. Like Jesus, leprosy is no respecter of persons. Leprosy is not bound to one race. It's not bound to one sect of people. It's not bound to one class. It's not bound to... We know that Naaman was of the ruling class and he was cursed with leprosy. It didn't mean that you were poor. It didn't mean that you were a prince or a pauper. All it meant was is that one day you were afflicted by something. One day something came on you that you weren't sure where it came from, but you knew that it forever changed your life. And from that point on, you were going to be an outcast. From that point on, you never would be the same. From that point on, it didn't matter if your mother and your father were of the right lineage. You were cursed to be with all the other lepers. Jesus says to this stranger, he says, where are all the other 9? Something was different. Something was different about this Samaritan. Jesus answers them all this way. He tells them, go and see the priest. And the Bible says that on their way back to the priest, they were made whole. The Bible says in their trip back to the priest, they were made whole. How many know that sometimes your healing doesn't happen instantaneous? Sometimes you got to make the trip. Sometimes you got to step one foot out first, make that first step, and then God does the rest. Sometimes he wants a little action with that faith, because faith without works is dead. Amen? So he says, go and see the priest. Now, Jesus didn't tell him, go and see the doctor. He didn't say, go and see a surgeon. He didn't say, go and see John the Baptist. He says, go and see the priest. Now, that is a very peculiar thing. Why would Jesus tell them to go see the priest? Well, you see, man can only diagnose. Man can only diagnose. There's a Levitical law regarding lepers, and it's read in the book of Leviticus 13, 1 through 2. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a person has on his skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priest. And then on to number 6, it says, and the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day, and if the diseased area has faded and the disease is not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. You see, the only hope for a leper was that it was possibly not leprosy, that it was a misdiagnosis. All the only hope they had was, is maybe this isn't real. Maybe this storm isn't really what it is. Maybe this is all a dream. Maybe this is not really what I think it is. Maybe this really isn't bad as it could be. Maybe this really won't harm me like they say it will. Maybe I'm not really giving up all of myself. Maybe that's not exactly what the Bible says. Maybe the Bible's a little fuzzy on this. And then they would go to the priest, and the priest said, no, honey, you got it. You see, that's all man can do is diagnose. How many of you know people that all they do on a regular basis is look for the validation of man? And they go to them waiting for them to diagnose, say, am I better? Am I better? They have insecurities, and they say, am I better? Did I do a good job? Did I do what I was supposed to do? And they're looking for the validation of man. They're looking for the validation of an employer, looking for the validation of a spouse, looking for the validation of their children, looking for the validation of other members of their family. And all they can do is diagnose you. Not one of them can speak a word of healing. Not one of them can cause you to leave that disease. Not one of them can cause you to leave that sickness. Man can only diagnose. But this was the hope of a leper. This was all he had. So he went looking for the validation of the man. The Bible says none of them went looking for the validation. Number 2 says, but what happened with this Samaritan? His lack led to his provision. Luke 17 and 15 says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Now why is that important? Because you see, for the Levitical law to be for you, you had to be a Jew. And so when Jesus said, go see the priest and he's got a word for you, none of them said, no problem. If this man's going to validate me, I'll go to him. But this Samaritan said, wait a minute, Jesus. He can't do anything for me because I don't belong in his house. I don't belong in his tabernacle. I don't belong in his body. I don't belong where he's at. The only person that can do anything for me is you, Jesus. I need you to validate me. I need you to speak a word over me. Because if I go to that priest, he's going to look at me and say, get out of here, dog. But if I come to you, you're the only person that's talked to me in a long time. You're the only person that's made me feel this way in a long time. You're the only person that's spoken such a way in a long time. You're the only person that can validate me. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you think man can validate what you're feeling, if you think you can go to a man or a woman and they can tell you, this is what you need to do, this is what I'm not against, counsel. I want you to know that I'm not against counsel, but you need to make sure that the things in your life that can only be touched by the grace of God, that you bring them to the feet of Jesus and let Him touch them. Let Him heal them. Because as long as you look for the validation of man, all you're going to get is the validation of man. But this Samaritan went to Jesus and he says, your faith has made you whole. You see, Jesus can't refuse leper worship. You might say, okay, preacher, what in the world is leper worship? Let me tell you what leper worship is. Leper worship says, I've got nothing left. Leper worship says, I've got no money in the bank. I've got nothing to give. I've got no sanity left. I can't make it on my own. Leper worship says, if I don't have something today, tomorrow I'm going to die. Leper worship says, each day I give up one piece of my body. Each day I give up one piece of my mind. Each day I lose another piece of my sanity. I need you, Jesus. He can't refuse leper worship. Because leper worship doesn't come with any strings attached. Leper worship doesn't come with any ideas. Leper worship doesn't come in with its own motive. Leper worship doesn't come in saying, it's my day to sing on the praise team. Leper worship doesn't come in and say, they didn't sing my song. Leper worship doesn't come in saying, it's not my favorite preacher. Leper worship says, I'm in the house of God, and whatever He's got for me today, I want whatever He's got, because I know He's the only one that can validate me. Jesus can't refuse the leper. Now that word, and I specifically chose the King James Version to read it again, because he says, my faith, thy faith have made thee whole. That word whole means, and it's the Greek word sodeso, which means to make complete. And I have this vision of that leper coming in and saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh, my hand, my fingers, I got all my fingers. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Jesus, Jesus, I got all my toes. Wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't smell anymore. Wait a minute, Jesus. What have you done to me? Wait a minute. And he says, go, your faith has made you whole. I bet he went back to his family and they said, who are you? They said, what are you? We don't know you. You kind of resemble somebody we knew once before. I bet he went into his family and they said, no, you're not a leper. You don't look like a leper. No, you're not a sinner. You don't look like a sinner. No, you haven't lost it all. You don't look like somebody who's lost it all. No, you haven't lost a spouse. You don't look like somebody who's lost a spouse. No, you don't know what it feels like to have sorrow. You don't know what it feels like to have pain. You don't know what it feels like to not know what's going next day and the next day and the next day. It's impossible, because you look like somebody that's been made whole. I bet he went back and they said, wait a minute. We've moved on. We've moved on from you. We counted you as dead. We counted you as lost. We thought you would never come back around. But today, you stand before me a whole person. Today, you stand before me as if you were never afflicted. Today, you stand before me as if you have no pain. Today, you stand before me as if you have no sorrow. Today, you stand before me if everything's going together. Number three is, when Jesus touches you, you won't look like what you've been through. You won't look like the pain. You won't look like a leper. Listen, nine of them went home looking like a leper, but one of them went home looking different. All because he realized that man couldn't validate him. All because he realized that Jesus was the answer. All because he realized there's nothing they can do for me. So everything I have, I give to you, Jesus. Make no mistake, the other nine were healed. Make no mistake, they received the healing they needed. And leprosy would metastasize. It would spread to other parts of the body. So make no mistake, the spreading was stopped. But yet they still had the scars. Yet they still had the pain. Yet they still had the memories. Yet they still had the visions of when they were outcast. Yet they still had the stench of the old clothes. But this one Samaritan has a different outcome. Jesus makes him whole. Now, he's no longer isolated. Now, he's received the validation he's been looking for. He's been made whole, restored, redeemed. And when Jesus touches you, you won't look like what you've been through. When Jesus touches you, you'll no longer look like an addict. When Jesus touches you, you'll no longer look like a divorcee. When Jesus touches you, you'll no longer look like a depressed person. You'll now walk around and say, look at me. I know you don't recognize me. That's all right. Guess who I am? I'm the one that y'all cast out in the city. I'm the one you stuck out there with nobody else around. I'm that guy you walked away around. I'm that one that had to yell at you and tell you to walk away from me because I was unclean. Well, now today, I'm sitting at the table with you. Now today, I'm right next with you. Now today, I'm in the marketplace with you because a leper has been made whole. Something was very different. Some of you saying to God, you've been through it. And I know some of you and I know some of your stories. And no doubt somebody look at you and they say, nah, you were never an alcoholic. Nah, you were never an addict. Nah, you were never promiscuous. Nah, you were never insecure. No, not you, not you, somebody else, not you. But today, you look like what you look like because Jesus, when he touches you, you won't look like what you've been through. I'm talking about people that maybe at one time you looked like death made over, but the Holy Spirit came on you, and after he touched you, you look like new life. Because when he touches you, you won't look like what you've been through. Jesus said, thy faith has made you whole altogether. No lacking parts, uninjured, undivided, recovering all. And he went home restored. So how do you get back what you've lost? Joel chapter 2, 25 says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. The hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent among you. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord our God, and there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. He says it doesn't matter if you're a prince or a pauper. It doesn't matter if you're a servant or the hirer. It doesn't matter if you're a hireling or you own the cattle. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. Because when I step on scene, when I send the spirit, it's going to come in and bring a healing and revitalization to your life like you've never seen before. He says, what the worm has already digested. In other words, it's so far off in the picture. It's so far off in the oblivion. You say, there's no way I could get it back. He says, even if the worm has digested it and it's scat on the ground, I'm going to restore it to you. There's somebody in this house, you need to get it down in your spirit that it doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how far gone it looks. I'm serving a God that when his spirit inhabits it, I can have it back. Three Hebrew children meet Shadrach and Abednego. We're in the fiery furnace. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar heated it up 7 times, hotter than normal. But when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. And they didn't even have a singed hair on their head. I bet they came to old brother Daniel and they said, "You'll never guess what happened, Daniel." And Daniel said, "You don't look like you've been through a fire. You don't look like you've been through a furnace. You don't look like you've been through cancer. You don't look like you've been through the loss of a loved one. You don't look like you've been through total devastation. You don't look like you've been through bankruptcy. You don't look like you've been through a collapse in a marriage. By God, when he stepped on scene, you won't look like what you've been through." If you were to go into Solomon's temple, it of course has been expressed how beautiful and how glorious it is. It's been expressed how beautiful the silver and the glass and the bronze and all that was. There were vessels of silver. There were brass and gold, precious jewels and rubies. But I bet if you would ask Solomon the story behind all these elements, he wouldn't have much to say. But if you would have asked David, you see, Solomon constructed it, but David gathered it. David fought the battles to get it. David would have said, "You see that silver? God destroyed a Moabite army for that. You see that gold? God delivered it out of the hands of the Syrians. You see those jewels in the ephod? I pried those out of the head of a false god of the Ammonites." You see, Solomon got to see the glory, because David had the story. And I'm here to tell you, there are some of you in this place. Would you stand in this house right now? There are some of you in this place that you're about to walk into glory. You're about to walk into a season of your life that you don't even know the story for yet. But God said, "If you'll just let me touch you this morning." Come on, do you believe him this morning? Would you raise your hands in this house? Somebody lift up your voice and say, "I'm not going to look like what I've been through. I'm not going to look like the pain I've went through. I'm not going to smell like smoke. I'm not going to smell like stench, because God is on scene and he has made me whole." You got time for one more? Let me tell you something else. When the Bible says that when Jesus stepped on scene to the man of the tombs, that later when the people saw him, he was in his right mind and he was clothed. Said that when the prodigal son returned home, the father put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back. It says of the priest in the old tabernacle that when he would leave, the brazen altar, his hands would be clean, his face would be clean, his feet would be clean, but his garments still smelled like blood. And what he would do is, he'd take that garment off, and he'd put on another garment. Let me tell you another part of the leper law in Leviticus, is that when he was pronounced clean, the priest would then give him another garment. Because your leper garments are soiled. Your leper garments are full of filth. The leper garments still carry the stench of the past. But today I'm giving you a new garment. I don't care who you are in this place. Make yourself right now at this altar. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We're going to worship. Today he's going to give you a new garment. Come on, he can't. He can't deny leper worship. There's some people in here that say that today I'm getting a new garment. Today when I leave this place, people are going to say, "There's something different about you. Did you get your hair fixed? Nah. Did you do your nails? Nah. Some of you guys, did you get implants? Nah. Something different. There's something different. You don't look like what you've been through." Everyone in here, raise your hands right now. Heavenly Father,
I pray a supernatural power of your Holy Spirit on these people. You said in your word you'll restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have destroyed. Father, I pray right now that you'll restore it back unto them. Give them a healing. Give them anointing. I pray for ministries to be caught alive again. I pray for families to be mended back together again. I pray for marriages to be restored again. I pray for finances to be blessed again. Because I'm not going to look like what I've been through. Hallelujah. Give them a shout. Oh, hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. I'm going to pray for these people up here. Spirit Life Team, if you'll come up here and help me.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.